There's a pasuk in Mishlei, Ivelas Adam to Salef Darkai, Va'al Hashem Yiz Afli Bai. This pasuk means that it's the foolishness of man that distorts his way, but then when things go wrong, he blames HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan heard the son of Reish Lakish saying this pasuk, and he said to him, "Everything has its source in the Torah. Where can we find this idea? The idea that it's the foolishness of man that makes him make mistakes, but then he blames Hashem for all of his trouble. Where do we find this in the Torah?" He responded, "We find this in the stories of the brothers of Yosef of the Shvatim. When they left Mitzrayim the first time after getting the grain, they opened up their bags later on and found the money that they had paid. The money that they had paid for the grain had been returned to them. They were petrified. Vayetze libam. Their hearts went out. And they said to each other, 'Ma zais asa elekim lanu? What has Hashem done to us?'" Chazal say, "What are you blaming Hashem for? How could they not have checked the bags before they left Mitzrayim? Bichlal, maybe they were buying bags full of rags? How could they not have made sure that after all the bother and all the money and all the trip and all the tircha, check your merchandise before you get home? Why are they not checking the bags? Why didn't they open their bags immediately upon getting them? Had they done it, they would have found the money right away." By their simple trusting and naivete, Chazal say they brought this on themselves and then went and blamed Hashem. And it seems like they didn't learn their lesson. Even the second time they went, they still didn't check. Had they checked, they would have discovered that not only was the money returned, but the king's royal magical cup was in Binyamin's bag. And by the fact that they didn't check, when the messengers of the king are going to come and they're going to find that cup in Binyamin's bag, they're going to get into major trouble. Why aren't you checking your bags? But it wasn't just that they hadn't checked their bags. This whole parsha is so confusing because, unlike Yaakov, the brothers knew that there was a chance that Yosef was still alive. They knew that Yosef wasn't killed by that animal. Yaakov thought that he was dead, but they knew they had sold him. How could they not have suspected, with all the very strange things that went on in this parsha, how could they not have suspected that perhaps there was something going on here? They went to Mitzrayim, divided themselves up between 10 gates. This is why they were accused of being spies. If you are brothers, how come you came in separately? But there's a better question. How were they found? How did they find these 10 brothers who come in 10 gates? I mean, they separated into 10 gates because that was their whole trick, that they shouldn't be discovered. So someone had to know about them. Somebody had to be looking out for them. And yes, the Medrash says that in order to come into Mitzrayim to buy the grain, there was this form they had to fill out to write their names and their father's names and their grandfather's names. Yosef had made this decree in order to find his brothers. But seriously, why would anyone come up with such a rule? To buy bread, you need to write down your grandfather's name? And then they're accused of spying. And they are not brought to a police station, but to the home of the second of the king. Why? Why are you taking us to such a high-level government? And then, once they're there, he sits them down, he has a whole meal with them, and then he takes out this magical cup, and he Ki'ilu is using this magical cup to say all kinds of secrets about them. Why didn't anyone figure it out? When we remember the dreams that Yosef had were taken quite seriously by the brothers, they didn't look at it as a fantasy, but as something that really may happen, and therefore they wanted to kill Yosef. Why? Because he was prophesizing that one day his brothers would bow down to him. And now there is this mysterious king who seems to know all about them, and they find themselves bowing to him. Isn't it strange that not one of them remembers the dreams and says, maybe, just maybe? And this king, this Mitzri king, he's also acting so strangely. After he has this group of spies and he's yelling at them and he's accusing them of all kinds of things, he says, "Es ha'elaikim ani yarei." Who is Elaikim? How does this Mitzri second to the king, what's he referencing God for? And keeps on asking about their father. And is willing to release a group of suspected spies because he feels bad for the family left at home, so out of character. The Medrash says that Shimon was left behind in jail. As soon as the brothers leave, Yosef took him out and he gave him to eat and drink. Okay, maybe the brothers didn't know about this, but Shimon certainly did. Why didn't he wonder? Why didn't he, when the brothers came back, why didn't he say, hey, something strange is going on with this second to the king. There's something interesting here. There's even a chazal that says that when Yosef prepared food for them, he brought a shaychet there so that they could see the food was kosher and the gid hanasha was removed. And even this didn't make them wonder what was going on. And it says that when Yosef sat them in age order, they were puzzled. But what was their reaction to this puzzlement? Why didn't they do something? Why didn't they question it? Why didn't they open their bags? Why didn't they open their bags? After all, the first time that they didn't open their bags, it says that their hearts jumped. Their hearts went out. They were so worried. This is terrible. The money is back in our bag after we were suspected of being spies, and now the money is back in our bags, and for sure he's going to get so angry at us. So the second time, check your bags. And then when the messengers come and they do find the cup in Binyamin's bag, their reaction was very strange. Because their first thought should have been, in the context of the whole story, somebody's trying to frame us. But they didn't say that. They started to scream at Binyamin, you are a ganav ben ganeves. Your mother stole the idols from Lavan, and you stole the cup. You are a thief, the son of a thief. But maybe this whole string of coincidences should have started to add up for them. Not only did they not figure it out for themselves, but when Yosef finally revealed himself to them, they were in utter shock. Lo yachlu ledaber merov behala. They couldn't speak from their shock. And in order to understand all this, we go back to our original pasuk from Mishlei. There is a pasuk in the Torah that says, Hashoched ya'aver pikrim v'yisalef divrei tzadikim. When somebody is bribed, that bribery makes it impossible for the judge to see the truth. The bribery will blind the eyes of the wise and it will distort divrei tzadikim, the words of tzadikim. And the same way that bribery makes it impossible for a judge to see the truth, so too is an iveles, is a fool, blinded from seeing the truth. He just can't see it. You could see the whole story, which sounds so obvious to us, and they just can't see it. What is an iveles? An iveles is a type of fool that continues to always question things that should be certain to him, and perhaps even worse, be certain about things when he should be questioning. They were so sure that they were right, and Yosef was a Rasha, and they were correct in assuming that there's no way his dreams could become reality. And they did the right thing by selling him and by leading their father on for all these years. They were so sure they were right that even when they found themselves bowing to this king with all the strange things that had befallen them, they could not, did not have any space to imagine that perhaps, maybe perhaps, they made a mistake. Now, of course, we cannot judge the Shvatim, the nuances and the very, very minor chait that they had is played out in all its details to teach us a lesson. Because we do this all the time. We cannot imagine that we are mistaken. And even when the truth comes and sometimes hits us on the head, we have a hard time stopping, noticing, and allowing ourselves to be open-minded about all the different options and possibilities. We have to learn from this, not to be an iveles, but to look at life with our eyes wide open and not to allow our preconceived notions and whatever we hold so firmly to be the truth that we can't even see or hear any other possibility. Have a Freilich and Chanukah.